Hi, y'all. Welcome to the Girls Let's Chat podcast, a podcast sharing the stories of inspirational females in STEM. Hi, Naomi. We are so excited to have you on the Girls Let's Chat podcast.
Hi, everyone. I'm so excited to be here and to have this conversation.
So to start off, why don't you introduce yourself?
Okay, so my name is Naomi Porter, and I'm a 16-year-old entrepreneur, activist, and public speaker from Los Angeles, California. I am the CEO and founder of two businesses, Spice It Up and Bright Futures, and the founder of Entrepreneurship, an organization that seeks to democratize and widen access to entrepreneurial education courses. I am a national intern for Girl Scouts of the United States of America and recently featured in Forbes and Wharton Business.
Naomi, you are completely inspiring.
Thank you so much.
So my follow-up question is, why did you co-start Today Is Her Story?
Yeah, so I'm one of the co-founders of Today Is Her Story, which is an organization that seeks to inspire girls to pursue their passions and to live into the her story moment, because yesterday was history and today is her story. And so we really noticed that there were not a lot of girl-led organizations out there that were doing the same thing as us. And so we wanted to make sure that all girls feel empowered to use their voice for good and have a community and a worldwide girl tribe who is supporting them and who has their backs no matter what.
So while we're on the topic of Today's Her Story, what are some current projects and initiatives?
So as of right now, we're working a lot on it's Women's History Month. And so we're talking a lot about the importance of supporting Black-owned businesses, elevating the BIPOC community, and having those conversations with girls and with women to further dive into, well, what does it mean Women's History Month? What is International Women's Day?
So my next question is, why did you start Entrepreneurship?
So I started Entrepreneurship because, simply put, I noticed that there were no organizations, courses, extracurriculars, and materials for people and students who are interested in change making and who are interested in activism. And I knew that I had to do something about it. And so it originally started as my Girl Scout Gold Award. And so our business model is that we partner with existing organizations to provide these startup funding opportunities, to provide these courses and these workshops that are really tailored to that specific target audience. And so we talk a lot about how entrepreneurship intersects with so many things like women empowerment, activism, STEM, climate change, racial inequalities, so that way everyone can be equipped with an entrepreneurial mindset in order to be successful and in order to go down the road of being an entrepreneur and making that lasting change to have a future where really no one is left behind.
So what is the most important thing you have learned from starting Entrepreneurship?
The most important thing that I learned from Entrepreneurship is the idea of collectiveness, the idea of collaboration, because there are so many activists out there doing phenomenal things. And we are so much stronger when we support and uplift each other constantly. And so even if that's as simple as shooting people a DM of saying, hey, I just find your organization so inspiring. If people leave us a comment or if they repost one of our things, like, that to me is everything. And the people that I've met through Entrepreneurship, the students and people and participants that we've engaged in so many countries and across so many different platforms, that to me is the best thing that I've learned, is that the idea of collaboration over competition is something that as a generation, I think that we're seeking to strive for, and what better way than entrepreneurship.
I completely agree. Collaboration and lifting each other up is so important.
Snaps for that 100%. I mean, like, just women supporting other women, people supporting other people. I mean, that's one of the core values of Girls Let's Chat, which is why I was so excited for this conversation, because that is a core value of mine as well that I will continue way past my teen years.
So as the CEO of two businesses, Spice It Up and Bright Futures Tutoring, let us know why you started these two businesses.
So both of my businesses align with the Sustainable Development Goal, which is outlined by the United Nations as 17 of the goals that we need to address as a community and as a society. And so each of them align with one of those. And so when you think of the Sustainable Development Goals, you probably think of, you know, the three R's: reduce, reuse, recycle. But these Sustainable Development Goals are a little bit different in the sense of it's more about being sustainable and equitable for our future of 2030. And so some of those goals, to give you all some reference, are like quality education, gender equity, reduced inequalities, no poverty, zero hunger. And so each of my businesses align with one of those. And so for Spice It Up, it's more of a classic sustainable goal because we provide like reusable spice kits to reduce our plastic and reduce our impact on the planet. And for Bright Futures, it's about providing quality education, SDG 4, because it is so important to not only have education and tutoring services, but also to make sure that it's accessible and affordable, because so many of the places in our areas aren't affordable for people. And so they're less likely to reach out and to get the help that they need in order to be as successful as they can with their education in whatever way, shape, or form that may take. So all of the ideas for my businesses really came from realizing that there is a problem in this world, and why not me? Why can't I solve that problem? Because so often we just call out things and we go, I would love for this to happen. It would be great if. But instead, we need to flip the narrative and think, why not me? Can I use my skills? Can I use my talents and my passions to make a difference? And so that's really where the ideas came from, of noticing a problem, noticing a need, and realizing that I had the skills, but more importantly, the passion and the time to commit to it to make a more equitable and sustainable world.
Both of your businesses are so inspiring and have such amazing mission statements.
Thank you.
So, as the CEO of two businesses, what was your journey like starting these two businesses?
Yeah, so the journey was, it looks different for everyone. And that's the thing about entrepreneurship, is that there is no set curriculum. There is no right or wrong way to do it. It's kind of just like building the plane as you're flying it. You know, it's like what we've seen with a lot of organizations, especially during this pandemic, is you just constantly have to innovate and you constantly have to adapt in order to succeed. And so as a young entrepreneur, I learned the importance of flexibility, of just thinking on your feet and of responding to people and having those conversations, the harder conversations of, you know, this marketing plan isn't going right, we need to fix something, but also the importance of reaching out to others, because so many adults and people and mentors have so much wisdom, they have so much expertise that they are ready to give. You just need to ask for it. And so I've asked for things as simple as legal advice to, hey, what do you think of these marketing colors, to the more serious things of, you know, how do I do taxes? Is what I'm doing legal? All of those fun things that a lot of 11 and 12 year olds probably aren't asking, but there really is no right way to start. There is no right time to start. An age is just a number.
I completely agree. So how did you become passionate about entrepreneurship?
So really, at a young age, I realized that I didn't have like the talents and the passions to pursue athletics, to pursue the arts, music, science. Every kid had figured out what they were doing. They figured out their why. And I was kind of left in the dust. I was like, I do school, I like leadership, I like speaking on the microphone at, you know, Friday morning announcements, but I don't know who I am necessarily. And everyone was kind of having these like things like, oh, I am an athlete, I am an artist. And I was like, I am a student just trying to, you know, stay in school, kids, right? I mean, you hear it all the time, but that's really what my life was, you know, school and being a leader. And I loved all that things. And then hit this time in sixth grade, and there was an application for an academy known as the Young Entrepreneurs Academy, which is a huge organization that does a lot of entrepreneurial education courses. And it's a year-long program that actually launches entrepreneurs into making their businesses and their curriculums. And so it's a program for 6th to 12th graders. And so I was really on the younger end of that, but I wanted to go for it. And so I applied and I was selected. And from there, I learned all the things about, you know, writing a business plan, how to be a successful speaker, what it means to, you know, do taxes and all those things. So I ended up launching Spice It Up from there. And then Bright Futures was a little bit easier because I already had the skills that I needed in order to be successful. And so That's a little bit more about kind of how the journey took me and just where my passions ignited when I realized that entrepreneurship is not just making a product. It's not just making a service. It's about making a lasting change. It's about filling problems. It's about collaborating and making that team work, you know? And so that really ignited my passions when I realized how much entrepreneurship intersects with so many different aspects of our life, that that is something I want to spend my life doing and working towards. And so that passion really ignited in me when I realized that there are really no courses, programs, or extracurriculars for students interested in entrepreneurship. So I needed to do something about it.
So while we are on the topic of entrepreneurship, tell us, why is getting girls involved in entrepreneurship so important?
Getting girls involved in entrepreneurship is important on a variety of reasons. I mean, I'll just throw some statistics off the top of my head. Only about 30.1% of all businesses, like all businesses everywhere, are run by women. Of that, only 6.6% of Fortune 500 companies are run by women. And so we need to bridge that gap. I mean, we've talked a lot, I've heard on the other podcasts about, you know, like STEM and the importance of, you know, being having more girls interested in STEM, but it's the same thing with entrepreneurship, because entrepreneurship and STEM are so similar. Many of the social problems that we face are opportunities for people who are interested in science, technology, engineering, and math to address them and to work with other people. And so we need to get girls involved and interested in entrepreneurship, because it is our future, and we need to know how to innovate and how to adapt in order to succeed. So that way, years from now and like decades from now, you know, those numbers will go up and more people will say, yeah, I'm willing to take the risk to become a CEO. It's not just going to be, oh, a man's world. Like, I'm ready and I'm here and I stand ready to contribute. And what better way than through females and through female empowerment? I mean, we see it with Girls Let's Chat. I mean, it's such an inspiring program and such a, just a great platform for all girls. So any of you listening, you have the power, you have the skills to do it. And the first step is by following all these amazing organizations who are doing entrepreneurial journeys, even if it's not branded as, you know, Girls for Entrepreneurship. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to have entrepreneurship in the name to be an entrepreneurial education sort of a program and to have entrepreneurial mindset values.
I completely agree. Getting girls involved in entrepreneurship is so important. So I'm going to steer us into a different topic, education. So why are you passionate about education, and why is education reform so important?
Education reform is at the core of my work, and I really didn't realize that until a couple of months down the road after forming entrepreneurship. I went, well, why was this necessary for me to create? Like, why did I feel so strongly that this is something that I want to spend my life working towards? Because our education system doesn't prepare us for the jobs of today and tomorrow. I mean, certainly, you know, a lot of people, they're learning so much about, you know, quadratic equations and graphing and all those fun things. And if you're a math and science kid, you probably are so amazing and doing amazing things already with that. And that'll prepare you, you know, for your jobs and what your aspirations are, whether it be an engineer or going into kind of more the traditional route of liberal arts. But if you're interested in change making, if you're interested in activism, if you're interested in business, social policy, there are very few courses or extracurriculars or even just programs in communities for students who want to do that. And so you have to wait till college to actually pursue something that you might not even know if you're interested in. And so why not expose kids at a secondary level if they're interested in this? And so it was really impacted my education reform by my personal experience, because as someone who wants to be an entrepreneur, who wants to kind of go into education and who wants to make lasting change, there were no programs or resources available to me. And so I realized that if something like this was happening to me, that something like that probably would happen to other people as well. And so this was more of a common and widespread problem, because something that I talk about a lot is this idea of, are these AP, IB honors classes really preparing us for the jobs of today and tomorrow? And students are drowning in rigorous courses and course loads simply because that is the expectation. But we need to change that expectation. We need to redefine what success looks like for everybody. And it starts with reforming our education system. It starts with validating, creating, but more importantly, as a society, saying, yes, I agree with that. Programs, extracurriculars, and courses for students. And as a society, we say, yes, that is successful. College isn't for everyone. Pursuing liberal arts degrees aren't for everyone. Let's normalize apprenticeships, internships, taking gap years, majoring in something non-traditional, doing something a little bit different, because there is no path and you have to make your own way in this world. And as a society, we need to validate that so that way truly we are prepared for the jobs and the skills of today and tomorrow.
So let us know, what specific changes would you like to see in the education system?
I think the main thing are providing resources and funding towards entrepreneurship programs, having like an intro to business class, intro to change making, you know, instead of taking AP calculus, what about taking intro to finances, you know, how to do taxes? What about, you know, having kind of just these sort of courses that you need in order to be successful, you know, like doing your taxes, you know, that's something that I don't really know how to do. I mean, I know for my businesses, but not for my personal life, you know, some of these things that like everyone just needs to know, but instead we're focusing so much on, you know, graphing the quadratic formula and flipping X over B, you know, all that fun stuff, rather than, you know, the things that we need in order to be successful, like how to get jobs, you know, have a lot of opportunities for students who want to do unpaid internships, who want to do paid internships, you want to get apprenticeships, and say, you know, okay, maybe you only have to take math and English and go do what you're meant to do. So those are like the main things that I would love to see our education system continue to adapt.
Can you tell us about your journey as an education reform advocate?
Yeah, absolutely. So most recently, my work has been featured in Forbes, but more importantly, it's been featured in Wharton School of Business. And so that is from the University of Pennsylvania. And so we had a conversation about, well, what does it mean to educate youth? And so actually all of the things that we talked about, we wrote out in an interview, I did an interview with them, and we've actually made a curriculum for students who are interested in change making, and it has discussion prompts for classrooms. And this idea has kind of been adopted. This interview has taken kind of just a whole huge step in the right direction and step towards change, because in the interview that I did, you know, I talk about marketing, and then there's a clip and you can click the video of what does it mean, intro to marketing, intro to business plans. And so all of that is a step in the right direction by providing those courses and those extracurriculars and those resources and support for students who are interested. And they go, hey, I want to learn about entrepreneurship. Okay, I'm going to click on this. I'm going to kind of go down that rabbit hole per se of like, well, what does it mean to be publicity? What does it mean to have marketing strategies? What does it even mean? You know, what's the 80-20 model? What's the 20-80 model of all these business things? But now they're all in one place and they're all very easily accessible, which is the entire goal of entrepreneurship and my personal goal as well.
So what exactly is an education reform advocate?
So an education reform advocate is someone who continues their advocacy in many different ways. And so it means constantly having conversations with people like the school board, people who are in administration, but also people who are students, because my experience may not be universal, but there are certainly other students who have similar experiences in our education system as me, but there are also people with completely different experiences. And so constantly seeking those opinions and constantly seeking those ideas, because the education as a whole needs to change, and the education as just, there are certain snippets of everyone's life that they go, I would like to tweak that, you know, if only this hadn't happened, and if together we come together and we figure out, okay, well, what are we going to actually do about that? And so my advocacy has involved writing blogs, being interviewed for podcasts, and just collaborating with influencers to kind of make that sort of lasting change and to talk about things like entrepreneurship and like education reform. And so it's utilizing any and all resources in a variety of different platforms to continue to spread the message of education.
What are some challenges that you have faced as a female who is in entrepreneurship?
So the biggest thing that I can think about is at the very beginning. So take it back about 5.5 years ago to a startup funding competition, and I couldn't even find a business suit that was big enough to fit my body. I didn't even couldn't find high heels because my shoe size was so small. I'd have to get like the more twinkle toes style, as you might see on like little girls who are dressing up for Halloween, as princesses. So definitely did not scream business. So I just ended up wearing a skirt, a black shirt, and flats. But regardless of the outfit decision, I mean, that was just phase one of being an entrepreneur and being a female entrepreneur. And then hits this moment where I'm standing on the stage, I gave my presentation, and I look around me and I go, every single person who I'm competing against is a male. And so I realized we need to get women and females involved, because it wasn't every single person, but I think I'm gonna go with 80 to 85% of that program was boys and was males. And so we need to get more females involved. And it was definitely daunting stepping up on that stage as 4'9", maybe 4'10", and competing against these people who were 6'2", captain of the football team. I'm a little sixth grader. They are in high school. They could totally, take me out. Of course, they would never, but it's kind of that idea of already feeling intimidated by just standing in a room and just by being in the room rather than just necessarily competing, is just by being there kind of rocks the boat, even just the slightest of bit amount. And so it wasn't really until years later, looking back on that experience, that I went, oh my goodness, there were no other girls in my grade. There were no other girls who were in middle school. There were only very few in high school. Something about that needs to change. And so again, this is 16-year-old Naomi reflecting on 11-year-old Naomi's experience. And I wish I realized then, because I would have been, hey, let's apply for this program. Girls, let's get involved and let's keep reaching out and valuing collaboration. But I think it's because of that experience that inspired me and has continued to inspire me to kind of bridge that gap.
Thank you so much for sharing the challenges that you have faced. So, what advice do you have for females who are also interested in entrepreneurship?
My biggest advice is to do it because you're passionate about it, because entrepreneurship is for everyone, but at the same time, you don't have to be an entrepreneur to be successful. And there are so many different roads and paths of success, and you can have a passion and it doesn't intersect with entrepreneurship, but most do. So I would figure out first what you're passionate about, and then figure out kind of specifically where you want to take that. So the most specific advice that I can give you, without fully understanding and knowing exactly what you want to do and kind of where you see yourself in your organization, is to reach out to existing organizations, have partnerships with them. For example, if you're interested, let's say in STEM, type in STEM, girl STEM, women in STEM, and research them and figure out, do they have opportunities for up and coming entrepreneurs? What problem are they facing? How can you do it a little bit differently and collaborate with other people? You don't have to do everything alone. Build a team, reach out to other people, get involved with pre-existing organizations, figure out how they run things, and then go and start your own. So there are so many ways to be an entrepreneur, and there is no wrong way. And simply put, our world is waiting for you and your ideas. So why not now? Why not you? Go for it. If you're listening and you're thinking about becoming an entrepreneur, it is the best thing that's happened to me. And I can sit here proudly and tell you that I will continue to be an entrepreneur, rather than if I'm not necessarily going to be going into business. I might not be going into business. I might not even have a business, 20 years down the line, I don't really know what that necessarily will look like. But I will still have that kind of entrepreneurial spirit, and it is universal. And so there is, again, no wrong or right way to be an entrepreneur. So just go for it.
I completely agree. I think the most important thing is to just go for it, never look back, and kind of just keep moving forward.
Yeah, 100% is just like, keep going in the right direction as long as it feels right, and just keep going and keep achieving and just go for it, and kind of don't look back. Only look back once you've made it and you go, you know what? I feel like I can reflect on this experience, So I would definitely recommend doing that.
So my next question is, who do you look up to?
I look up to any female who uses their voice and their platform for good. And so that doesn't necessarily need to be on social media. In fact, it's better to be off social media in terms of using your voice, and because it's so easy to, use your voice on social media, like performative activism that we've seen a lot in the press and in the media. But when you use your voice and you really, truly use it to empower others, that inspires me constantly. And so people like Michelle Obama, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and like Emma Watson, and all of those amazing females who, like, whether or not I agree with their policies or like their things like that, they use their voice and they use it for good. And that's something that has to be celebrated. And so that reminds me of, like, when I do, you know, hit like the peak in my career, I want to look back and help other people, help other women, because when you make it, you know, it's all about, you know, extending that hand to the next generation. And that's what we've seen in a lot of female leaders. So those three people really inspire me, because they build a team of people and they always value, you know, authenticity, vulnerability, but more importantly, collaboration.
So the next topic I would like to discuss is imposter syndrome. Have you experienced imposter syndrome? And if so, what advice do you have?
I think that imposter syndrome definitely kicks in, especially with the digital age of social media, because if social media didn't exist, you probably wouldn't know half the things that you know about people, you know? And so for me, it's more about, I know the work that I'm doing is important. I've seen it, and I'm having conversations with amazing humans who are also doing that work. And that used to terrify me in the sense of, you know, other people are doing amazing things, but in reality, that is so amazing that other people are doing amazing things. Like, let's uplift those people, let's support them. But it definitely can feel overwhelming at times that you see someone, you go, oh my gosh, you know, they did this, they were published in that, you know, they must have a perfect life. But to know that nobody's life is perfect, and there is so much more to meet that meets the eye than just a social media profile picture and a couple of, you know, Instagram pictures or anything like that. And so the best advice that I would give for combating that, I mean, I think I definitely had a lot of imposter syndrome probably in the last year. But right now, I would say, looking back on that, I mean, ninth grade was a hard experience for me. But looking back on that, it's important to remind yourself why you do what you do, and to not be afraid to share about yourself, because I've mentioned this a couple of times on previous like interviews and things like that. But I mean, for me in ninth grade, I walked in knowing nobody, and I kind of had to hide a little bit of who I was, because I didn't want to be seen as braggy. I didn't want to be seen as an overachiever or someone like that. But as this year has moved more digitally, I felt more confident in my own skin. I felt more confident as Naomi Porter. So that way, when I step back on those campuses, when they open up, I can go and be fully myself. And so know that if you have imposter syndrome, that is totally valid. Those feelings are valid. Those emotions are valid. And I am 100% here for you, and I'm supporting you. And so the biggest thing to combat it is to uplift and support other people, take mental health breaks, schedule time to reconnect, disconnect to reconnect, you know, like disconnect from the internet, disconnect from social media, and connect with people who know you for you, who don't know you as, you know, this person of their professional life, but who know you and who value you for who you are as a person and who you are inside, rather than just what externally people see.
So now, before we end the episode, is there anything you would like to say or add?
I think just be sure to connect. I'm always happy to reach out to any DMs. I'm one of those people that genuinely means, like, when I say DM me, like, please, please, please reach out to me. I'll follow everyone back. You know, that's something that I value so highly, is this idea of, you know, collaboration and supporting each other's ventures. If you have a project, if you have a social movement, if you're launching a business, please DM me and say, hey, you know, I heard you on this podcast. I went to this workshop of yours. This is a movement that I'm starting. You know, self-promo is everything. I will follow, I will like, I will comment, I will subscribe, because we are so much value, we have so much value when we support and we uplift each other. And what better way than through social media, which can really be a huge aspect, and it could be a huge, really go-getter and a benefiter for everything. And so social media definitely has its cons, but on the positive side is that it's great, because it's how I connected with Girls Let's Chat. It's how I'm going to connect with all of you listening. And I can't wait to see what all of you do in the future. So my last advice is just to go for it. You know, there's nothing holding you back. Please reach out if you ever need anything. And just let me know where you found me, and I would be more than happy to help you out in any stage of the adventure process, of the venture process, of activism, or even if you're just wanting someone to talk to. My DMs are genuinely always open.
So if you're listening to this podcast, please, please DM Naomi if you have any questions or would just like to reach out to her.
Yeah, for sure. I'm Naomi Porter PV on pretty much every platform, but I'm sure that'll be in some sort of an Instagram post or something like that. But please, please, please reach out. We're so much stronger when we collaborate, for sure.
Thank you so much, Naomi, for coming on to the Girls Let's Chat podcast. It was so exciting to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Alicia. This has been a great way to spend my afternoon.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope you enjoyed it, and follow us on Instagram at Girls Let's Chat to get updates on when we release episodes. And again, thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.